Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Previously on Can't Bowl, Can't Throw. And you could have like a children's book. So, you know, A is for Alyssa.
I like the fact that Australia remains steadfastly on the right side of the line.
And then the heat death of the universe seemed the most probable way for it to end.
We should be raising money for hamstring awareness.
Yes, we definitely should.
But you can't bowl and you can't throw. I'm just telling you what everybody knows. Absolute sins. You put down all the talent that hit you out of the ground. Don't ask what it was, Karen and Joe.
In a week where India proved yet again that Australia should not be trying to compete with them in Test cricket in Queensland, this is Can't Bowl, Can't Throw.
Well, the Ashes are going ahead. The first test is on December 8th, and whether Joe's here or not, to be honest with you.
Who was that, Dan?
That was Tim Payne, so he's got his thoughts about the Ashes.
He certainly does.
Yes, so you're here with Kat Jones and Dan Lipke. This is Can't Bowl, Can't Throw, and I think I'm with Tim. I think regardless of whether Joe Root and the rest of the England team show up, Australia should just get out there, put them into bat, bowl at unprotected sets of stumps, bowl them all out for zero, go in, declare it naught for naught, come back out, do it all again, and then do it five times over and retain the Ashes 0-0. I think that's the Australian plan.
Do you think Australians in lockdown, they're so glued to their televisions that they'd actually watch that?
I think so. I think the Gabba would be packed.
Yeah.
they don't care up in Queensland. They'll go there. They'll love it.
So what's the only risk of that approach?
Well, I think the big risk is like somebody like Mitchell Starc just spraying down leg side for five wides, and then all of a sudden you're behind in both the test or the innings, the test and the entire series. So, and then you lose the Ashes. So I think you open the bowling maybe with Josh Hazlewood and Pat Cummins and say, just take it easy, guys. No front foots, no wides, just hit those stumps and we'll get them all out.
Mm. So that's a very good plan. But there has been a lot of chat so far, hasn't there, about the Ashes, considering we're a fair way off. In fact, the Sydney Morning Herald newspaper asked this question. Has there ever been so much nonsense said and written about an Ashes tour of Australia before a ball has been bowled?
The correct answer is yes, every single time. Every single time it's full of nonsense.
Isn't it great, the media sort of joking and complaining about other media beating up the same thing they're beating up? It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's very funny. When I put that plan out on Twitter about how Tim Payne wants to win the Ashes even if England don't show up, I did get a response on Twitter from Sports Jessica, who suggested that instead of going for the tie with the double declarations, Australia could also just send Warner and Pekowski out to open the batting and stand around for 6 hours for 5 days and get a draw instead.
Well, that'd be good use of Warner and Pekowski.
He can't get into any trouble in nightclubs or anything if he's standing out in the middle. So, yeah, I think that's good. Pekowski might do his back, though, standing around for 30 hours.
That could be shadow batting.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. Yeah, so that'll work. Maybe they should mix it up. Sometimes they'll
bat. They could just sit in the centre of the pitch playing Uno or something.
That'd be great.
This is the part of the show where we discuss the cricket news of the week.
So lots of stuff going on in the world of cricket as always, but we have just enough time to cover the test leg of the Australian v India Women's Series.
Yeah, so this is the middle leg of this multi-format series. Australia won the first leg, a little bit of controversy about that. But
is there a middle leg?
There is a middle leg.
Isn't there just a left leg and a right leg?
Not this time. So the second leg, the middle leg, Australians get an opportunity to see definitely their first test of the summer, but maybe also their last, depending on what happens with England.
At least, if nothing else, we have seen one test this summer. Well, yeah. Is it summer yet? It's almost summer in Australia.
It's almost summer.
Anyway, so exciting to see the Australian women in white.
Mm.
Didn't they look fabulous in white?
Yes, it was very good.
Yeah. Anyway, this was also a pink ball test, right? A day-nighter.
Yep.
And confusing, of course, as always, about the breaks. I think you went off for a walk at one point and you went, hang on a minute, is this the 40-minute break or the 20-minute break?
Well, I didn't go for a walk. I went off for a run. I sprinted around the park so I could be back within 20 minutes and then there was still 20 more minutes to kill.
You should have gone around twice.
Yeah, maybe. Let's not go crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, Australia won the toss and they decided they'd bowl in this test. And I'm assuming that's because they had eight bowlers in their lineup. I think if you've got eight bowlers in your lineup, you pretty much have to bowl.
Well,
don't you?
You know, if life gives you lemons,
yep,
you make lemonade. Although, are these bowlers lemons? They're not really, are they?
No, I don't think so.
No, not at all.
Yes. But India defied all eight of the bowlers. I mean, Australia didn't particularly help themselves. They dropped catches and they took wickets off no balls and they refused to appeal for LBWs.
Yeah, so maybe they were lemons.
Yeah, maybe they were. Yeah. But India tried to help them out a bit. We had a walker.
Yeah.
So we had Poonam Raut. She walked. She said, I'm out of here. Off she went. And it was obviously very disrespectful to all the Australians who can't abide walking.
Yes, of course not. And look, it didn't matter anyway. I mean, Poonam Raut must have known that they were going to be out there for plenty of batters. There's no need for them to actually worry about one or two even walking.
Yeah, nah.
And the Australians were out in the field for such a long time. Gave us a really good look at how the baggy greens work with the ponytails, and they don't work at all.
No, definitely need to cut some kind of hole in the back of the back of the baggy green for the ponytails to come out. It must be very difficult. We were trying to work out who was the longest haired male test cricketer from Australia who might have had ponytail issues. And all I could really think of was a young Jason Gillespie had a ponytail, I'm sure.
Mm. Well, now we're finding out, I think, why none of them do have long hair, because it just wouldn't fit under the baggy green. And we're underestimating this, because when you're bowling, you put your hair in a very specific spot so that the ponytail doesn't come untied while you're bowling.
Yep.
And if they're forced to put their ponytail in a very low angle on their neck, it might impact how well they bowl. Even though they take the hat off, but the ponytail's still in the same location.
Yeah. Yep. So, well, that's as good an excuse as any, I think, for Australians' lackluster bowling performance.
Yep.
Certainly their bowling didn't hinder Smriti Mandhana. She was eventually player of the match. She made a century. She made 127 from 216 balls. And she pretty much set the pace for India's entire match. She flew out of the gate. She got a runner ball half century, then chilled out a little bit, remembered it was a test and decided, oh, well, I better calm down a bit.
Yeah. But that's also, you don't want to upstage your captain at any point by going too quickly.
No, definitely not.
No. And at what point was it raining in all of this?
Pretty much the third session of the first 2 days. So there was rain and lightning and hail. It was all pretty grim.
Mm.
And so that meant India basically batted well into the third day of a four-day test, despite the growing frustration of the commentators or commentary unit, as I like to call them, in honour of Brad Hodge.
Yeah.
But eventually they did declare at 8 for 377 midway through the third day. And I think their plan was that, the only way they could possibly win in such a rain-affected four-day test match was by bowling Australia out twice cheaply.
Yeah, so, I mean, the five-day test is partly there to compensate for potential rain delays and other problems. So, you know, how many more gems do these teams need to unlock before they get 5 days to play instead of four?
There are certainly a lot of gems in both sides. So, it's not really fair that they have to deal with 4 days and then lose basically another, half a day to two-thirds of a day as well.
I mean, it does give them a lot of practice at declarations, as we'll talk about. Yes. And I think there were was it Hypo Forced on Twitter who said that there were a lot more declared innings in women's test matches than they were, relatively speaking, in men's test matches.
Yes, there was a stat of how often there'd been three declarations in a test, and it was like 10 times as many in women's tests as there were in men's tests.
Yeah, seven out of 142 women's tests and only six out of 2,433 men's test matches, which is a fantastic stat as well.
It's a great stat.
Yep.
Anyway, so chasing the 8 for 377, Australia reached stumps on the third evening at 4 for 143. It was Elise Perry and Ash Gardner. They were trying to save the day there. They basically had to avoid the follow-on. As soon as they avoided the follow-on, the test was pretty much doomed to be a draw. And they almost failed to do it. Gardner was dismissed when they were about 20 runs short of the follow-on, and then Australia lost 5 for 15, and it was a little bit panicky as I think Elise Perry adopted the Steve Waugh tactic of batting with the tail of, I'll just take a single and good luck at the other end.
Yes, it's fantastic. So anyway, they got past the follow-on mark, and then Lanning just said, come in, girls.
Yep. Yeah, she decided to declare. And then, so Perry finished 86 not out, at that, sorry, 68 not out, boosting her test batting average to 86. So 86.6.
When Perry was batting, remember we commented on how her bat just has a black smudge right in the centre of her bat. Nowhere else. Like that's clearly the only place the ball ever hits her bat.
Yeah, or if it hits anywhere else, she cleans it up really quickly. So
it's wonderful.
Either way, yeah, it's a good statement of how impressive she is. I'll just make sure everybody could see the middle of my bat is well worn.
Yeah, it's almost a sledge, isn't it, for the other side. Yep. Yeah.
She also took her 300th wicket in international cricket earlier in the test. That was when she had Pooja Vastraka caught by Beth Mooney. And that meant that she was the first woman and the first Australian, and therefore the first Australian woman to reach the 5,000 runs, 300 wickets double, and in only her ninth test, which was miraculous, really.
I mean, no spoilers for any of your books, but it would be very disappointing for your books, wouldn't it, if her performance started to flag at this point of her career?
Yeah, possibly, but
I mean, can books be disappointed?
Maybe. Maybe they can, but I think you're referring, I'll spoil it, I don't care. Now, Elise Perry is number one on my list of the greatest Australian cricketers of the past 50 years.
She's cementing it.
Yeah, and she's definitely cementing it.
There's even more daylight between her and number two. Whoever number two was, I can't remember.
I don't know, some old bloke who bowled a bit of wrist spin. anyway, but the book was a moment in time. I think I even said in the book that Pat Cummins was, I don't know, whatever he was.
Oh, way too low.
Like 30th or something. I said, Pat's going to finish much higher than this, but I've got to write it as it is, rather than trying to predict out into the future.
Isn't that going to be a wonderful second edition in 10 years' time when he ends up, I don't know, I guess number two?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Yeah. Australia's greatest ever captain. Yes. So India batted again. They declared at 3 for 135. They had 32 overs to bowl at Australia.
Now, we thought Australia was daring, declaring. You know,
well, some people thought Australia was daring. I didn't think it was particularly daring.
So some people thought it was daring. But, I mean, India then, you know, hold my beer, I'm declaring too.
Yeah. So anyway, India did take a couple of early wickets. They got Healy and Mooney. But Lanning and Perry got Australia into the final hour, and that's when they shook hands and accepted the draw. And I kind of got the sense watching it that Lanning more or less bullied Mithali Raj into shaking hands. She kind of put her hand out, and Mithali Raj was like, well, wait a second, maybe we still think we can take these eight wickets in the last hour. And Lanning was like, oh, you don't want to call it a draw? Oh, I don't know. I thought it was pretty obvious it was a draw. And Mithali Raj was looking around, oh, I don't know, it's up to you, but I think it's going to be a draw. And then eventually, oh, well, I'll shake your hand.
Yes.
Was it. So a bit
terrible
of experience.
Terrible tactics against the spirit of cricket there from the Australian captain.
That was fantastic.
I think that shaking hands in that last innings counts as a second declaration from India.
Does it?
Yeah.
Very possibly, yeah.
I think so. Yeah. So I think we do have, it's a second declaration. We've got four declarations in the match, effectively.
I think so. Yes.
Australia's declared there the second time.
Yep.
Do you know why Mithali Raj waited until that moment? Because I've got another theory.
No, what's your theory?
Across the two innings, India made 512 and Australia made 240. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're clearly dominant with the bat, right, India? And Australia took 11 wickets and India just had to keep bowling until they'd also taken. 11 wickets.
Yeah, fair enough.
Oh, well, we may see, you know, they probably should have taken 12. But anyway, they waited until they'd equaled Australia and then they went, okay, now we can finish the match where Australia is not above us in any way, shape or form here.
Yeah, no, I think that makes good sense.
And just in case the test is ever decided on a countback, which in some games of cricket it is.
Oh, who knows, yes.
So that's good. And as you pointed out, a test win in the multi-format series, when you win the test, I mean, that should be, if you can win a test and it's not a draw, that should be worth a lot more than just 2 points or six points or whatever it is.
Yeah, it should be 2 points each for a drawn test, and it should be like 1,000 points if you win it. It should be like the golden snitch of this multi-format series. Should be, you win it, you win the entire series. Forget about everything else.
And then the T20s can just be for fun afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Which is, I think, is how it used to be when the test used to end the series too.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. So as we head into the final leg of the series, Australia leads 6-4, so there's 6 points up for grabs in the T20s. India needs to win 3 to win the series. Australia needs to win 2 to win the series. And, of course, if India win the T20 series 2-1, it's going to be a drawn series.
Huh.
And then we will have that count back to the test. So good thinking there from Mithali Raj.
And I think, as you mentioned in the opening joke, Australia really should be reconsidering their dominance in Queensland because not anymore. Both the Indian men and the women are getting close to or defeating Australia.
And I guess the final thing we've got is the player of the series. I think you came up with the idea of what the player of the series should receive.
Yes, well, they were you know, tossing around names on the commentary about the Border Gavaskar Trophy and so on. And so I thought that maybe we should be awarding the Raj Perry Beret to the person who does the best there, the Raj Perry Beret.
Please support capitalism by checking out these sponsors.
All right, so a new sponsor this week, or maybe this is a previous sponsor, I can't remember, but either way, I'm ordering you all now to go out and buy my new book. You can pre-order 50 Great Moments in Australian Cricket. I'm not going to spoil this one. It's available for pre-order. And you should probably go buy it because it's not just a selection of cricket moments. It's also basically my entire thesis on why cricket is the greatest sport. And it just happens to be filtered through a selection of cricket moments. Those moments go all the way back to the very first test match. So big hello to Charles Bannerman if he's listening.
But you haven't previously been able to talk about the early tests because often your books have been limited to the last 50 years.
Yes.
So this is very exciting, isn't it?
It is a little bit exciting. I've decided, all right, we're not going to limit it purely to Australia. I mean, technically it's mostly Australia, but if push comes to shove, I'll push in somebody who's perhaps not as tightly aligned with Australia as they might otherwise be. And as you mentioned, I'm going all the way back, which means I do also get to cover Bloody Bradman, because I do an entire section on the statistics of cricket, and he pretty much keeps poking his head up all the time. So if you want to get that book, it's a good book. I hope you'll enjoy it. So you can go pre-order it by going to leadcricket.com/50greatmoments and you can pre-order it and make my publishers happy.
Secure them jail time.
You do enough jail time to convince anyone this is no setup.
Cut deals that include some jail time.
No jail time.
He's not going to want to hear that you have endangered our operation just to get your thugs out of a little jail time.
One of our favourite segments, a little bit more jail time.
Yes.
It's hard to believe, but Justin Langer is back
in the news. Yep, exciting.
So this time, what's Justin Langer done this time that deserves a segment, Dan?
Well, it's been revealed that Justin Langer wasn't happy with Nathan Ellis. This goes back to the tour of the West Indies, which feels like about 3 months ago now. Nathan Ellis was a substitute fielder in one of the T20s, I think, in that series. And he went onto the field and he was wearing a watch, a Casio watch to be precise. And Justin Langer was not impressed by this. When Ellis came off the field, Langer gave him a complete spray and told him what he thought of him. So, and we heard this, this was based on a discussion between Peter Lawler and Gideon Hay on their podcast. And apparently Peter Lawler said that JL doesn't believe in jewellery on the field.
Well, it creates that white patch underneath you. You know, you don't get an even tan on your arms.
That's very true.
So I think, you know, JL's got something there.
Yeah, maybe.
Something.
I would have thought the West Indies was the worst possible place to institute some kind of jewellery ban on players. Imagine trying to tell Viv Richards or Curtly Ambrose, sorry guys, you're going to have to take that jewellery off. I mean, that seems very, very strange.
Maybe JL was trying to make sure that there was a big difference between the two teams, and he wanted it to be completely jewelryless for the Australian boys. I can't wait until Langer somehow becomes coach of the West Indian cricket team. Just imagine that.
That would be terrifying. I also thought that, you know, maybe JL said something like, you know, oh, you better watch yourself, Nathan Ellis. And Ellis took it completely the wrong way and strapped a watch under his wrist.
Yes, that's good. Because people are constantly getting JL's little phrases, misinterpreting them and so on.
Yeah, I don't think he's necessarily a great communicator. He's very monosyllabic and grumpy.
But what was the funniest thing about this story, Dan?
Well, I think one of the funniest things is just the fact that it's one in an ever-growing list of things that JL doesn't like on the field. He didn't like Marnus. Marnus tried to take a toasty onto the field last year. JL wasn't having that. And
this focus on things that are nothing to do with the cricket is really quite amusing, isn't it? It's I'm not going to tell you about how you didn't bowl as you were supposed to. Instead, I'm passively aggressively focusing on something else.
Yeah, he's basically his method of coaching is telling you all the things you shouldn't do, and then hope, like carving a statue. He's just chipping away. If you don't do all these things, then what's left is the perfect Australian Test cricketer.
Yeah.
So I think that's what he's working on.
Well, I found the funniest thing was that it was pointed out several times that it was a Casio watch.
Yes.
This was kind of amusing just because it was such an an irrelevant detail, and it was mentioned in the article like three or four times.
Yep.
And I was a child in the 80s, and that was my first watch, a Casio watch.
I think I had a Casio calculator watch, which might be handy in a T20 when you're trying to work out, you know, the run rates and stuff. If you could tap on it and do the division.
Absolutely. Maybe JL was angry because of the brand.
Yeah, maybe.
His preferred brand.
Maybe sponsored by Rolex or something.
Well, someone in the article was sponsored by Casio, that's for sure.
What do you think JL's going to ban next? Do you have any ideas?
Yeah, I did. I want him to ban socks.
Ban socks?
Yeah, I think that would be really funny.
It would be very random, wouldn't it?
It would be very random.
Yeah.
But maybe earrings. I mean, that's on the jewellery theme, but I think he should ban headbands.
Oh, the bloody hell. He's having a vendetta against Adam Zampa there, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Headbands, no earrings for Adam Zampa. He's in big trouble. Yeah, I think JL's probably going to ban podcast segments about him next.
Can't bowl, can't throw, coming live. Thanks for tuning in and taking your time. The underappreciated act of the week, the funniest and crazy plays of the week. Who is gonna join the honorary board? The number one Scott Moeller reward.
All right, it's the Moeller Award. That's our award for the most absurd thing that happened in cricket over the past week. So what have we got up for nomination this week?
Lots of absurd things, more than the number of days in the week, I think, we have, Dan.
Yes. So I think first up I've got Tasmania deciding that this happened shortly after we released our previous episode. Tasmania heard that there were a handful of cases popping up in Queensland, so they said, we're not going to play this Sheffield Shield match. We're out of here. We're going home. And that was it. They were done. Wasn't officially cancelled by Cricket Australia. They were just jumping on a plane and heading straight back home.
Yep. And snapped that border shut behind them.
Yep.
So there's a few for the IPL this week, Dan. And the first one I have is Josh Hazlewood. He's playing for the Chennai Super Kings, and he got a man of the match for his 3-for-24 against the Sunrisers.
Yep.
And I don't really like this. So he bowled out, I think, the number one and the number five and the number six or something like that. It's pretty unfair because the Sunrisers are such a terrible team, for starters. You shouldn't be getting any Man of the Match awards for any performance of any feat against them. But also Rashid Khan's in the Sunrisers.
Mm-hmm.
And I reckon he should get a Man of the Match every time the Sunrisers play just for showing up. So that's my nomination. Do you have one from the IPL?
I do. I've got Ashwin. He decided that he was going to take a bonus run after a ball deflected off Rishabh Pant.
Yeah.
And everybody got angry about this. Most notably, I think it was Owen Morgan got angry about it. He got very cross. And
Morgan and Southey, I think, gave him a bit of a send-off or a spray or something.
Yeah. So Ashwin eventually defended himself on Twitter, of course. He's not a shrinking violet.
Yeah.
Owen Morgan getting cross got a lot of Indian fans cross because they were saying, well, wait a second, you guys wouldn't have won the World Cup if not for a deflection off Ben Stokes. So what are you carrying on about? And that in turn got a lot of England fans cross because they're like, oh, Ben Stokes was never going to run. It was just, you know, mere happenstance that the ball happened to go all the way to the boundary and get us into a position to win a World Cup.
Wow.
And it was just all a wonderful piece of spirit of cricket nitpicking, which I really like to see. I just like to see other nations looking after the line for once. I mean, Australians deserve a break from looking after the line.
Yes.
So good to see other countries stepping up.
Good to see that a New Zealander just teetering on the line.
Yep.
Not sure whether he's going to end, Tim Southee, whether he's going to end up on the right or the wrong side of it.
Yeah, that's very good. Rare.
Yeah, excellent. All right, I've got another one here, another IPL-related one. Steve Smith. Congratulations, Steve Smith, getting in the last week to play the first match of the reboot of the IPL season.
Good work, Steve.
He hasn't.
He went all right, though, didn't he?
He did go all right, but he's been on the bench for a while, so it's nice to see him get an outing. Yeah. He's had two outings now.
Yep, good for him.
Yeah.
I've also got Tim Payne. So in addition to Tim Payne having a shot at Joe Root for saying, well, if you're not going to come, we're still going to win the Ashes anyway. He also had a go at KP. KP was also saying, I'm not going to the Ashes. I'm not pretty sure KP's not playing.
Is so he
it doesn't
invited?
Really matter. Yeah. Well, so I don't think it's a great loss if KP doesn't come over. But yeah. Tim Payne pointed out that KP was an expert on everything. So I'm sure KP will be pleased to hear that Tim has such a high regard for him.
Okay. So it was ironic or was
I think so.
Fantastic. Now I've got another one here. It relates a little bit to the test match, but just in general, Mitchell Starc following the Australian women's team to everywhere that they go. He's just adorable.
Yeah, he's like a giant puppy, isn't he?
Yeah, he's fantastic. But this particular anecdote deserves nomination, and that's Stella Campbell, who's playing in her first matches. She's very fresh to the Australian setup. And she was saying, oh, look, you know, it was a bit wet out there in the ground. I was slipping a bit with my front foot. So Mitch Starc asked if we had any long spikes.
Yep.
And then no one had any. She'd never worn them before. So he went out and bought them for all of us.
What a generous
man. And then she used it and presumably it helped. So what a lovely story.
Yeah, good work, Mitchell Starc.
Yep.
We've also got, just kind of semi-related to the women's test, the fact that there's no DRS in it, I mean, that's very silly. That's definitely worthy of a muller because there are about four wickets that would have been overturned if they'd had it. There was, I think, Meg Lanning inside-edged onto her front pad and one of the Indian batters was given out with one that pitched well outside leg stump. So there were a few dud decisions. They went both ways. But come on, guys, get the DRS up and running for the women.
Yeah. I mean, my question to you, though, Dan, is Elise Perry was not out. So if Elise Perry doesn't need DRS, why do the rest of them?
Well, I think the lack of DRS saved Elise Perry at one point. I think India appealed for one where she taken a big stride down and that had hit the pad just before the bat. And if they'd had DRS, they might have got her. But she got away with that.
Yes. Well, I have one more. One Do you more? Have any more?
No, that's it for me. I think that's almost plenty.
That's it. So we're up to seven. So this is number eight.
Yep.
This is a stat pointed out by Rick Finlay.
Friend of the podcast, Rick Finlay.
That's right. And he pointed out that Ash Gardner and Vastraka for India both had an unusual trifecta in the test. They both offered a catch, so they hit a catch that was dropped. They each dropped a catch.
Yep.
And they were also bowling when they suffered from a dropped catch off their bowling, so which was fantastic.
That's a great stat. Yeah. I mean, it's impressive enough to have one person who's done all three, but have two done all three. And, of course, Ash Gardner later took an absolute screamer of a catch and then seemed completely ambivalent about it. She kind of stood up and just wandered over, looked high-tanning with the most bored look on her face that you could imagine.
That's right.
So great work from those women there.
I think someone also pointed out that those two players, Gardner and Vastraka, both also dropped each other.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
Which is unbelievable.
Yeah,
so I think it's your turn to choose out of those eight. Who wins the muller, if you can even remember them? Do you want me to run through them again?
No, I think I've got them all. I'm very tempted to give it to Ashwin just because he got so many people angry with
an innocent little run and didn't even impact the match at all, but created waves all around the globe.
Yeah, fantastic stuff from Ashwin. So he gets the Muller Award for this week.
Okay. Does that bring us to the end?
It does indeed. So you've been listening to Dan Lipke and Kat Jones. You can find us on Twitter. I'm at Leib Cricket and Kat is at Cricket Back Kat.
And you can also follow us on at Can't Bowl Throw on Twitter and like us on Facebook. Just search for Can't Bowl Can't Throw. And we will be back again, usually on a Monday. We'll see you next week.
Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.